Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The media's attention these days has slightly shifted from elections to economics. And I'm glad in a way it shifted. We were bombarded with all these, one scolding the others and all the criticism that is very personal attacks. The economic situation doesn't really encourage us. We live in insecurity. We wonder, is it worth spending trillions and trillions of dollars only to make us secure? Are we really secure now? What exactly is happening to our world here, and what is our responsibility as one of the developed countries? Where did things go wrong? And I'm sure at least some of you have rewritten your budgets, telling kids not to ask to buy this and that, while salary stays the same, prices increased. It is in this context the gospel today challenges us to give more, or give generously, or be gracious. And somehow these two are not matching with each other this morning, where we are and what our gospel teaches us. We hear again and again children complaining to parents, it's not fair, she gets more than I get. Or parents complaining to children, it's not fair, now I have to live here and there. Teachers complaining to their employers, and students complaining to their teachers, so on and so forth. And here we have a parable today where people who worked hard for a whole day complaining because they were not paid more than people who worked only 1 hour. Let me set the context for our parable. Jesus told this parable in response to what Peter had told Jesus, saying, "We left everything to follow you." Because Jesus told them, it is easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle rather than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That's because a rich man came, and when Jesus said you have to give up, sell and give everything to the poor, and he went away. So that's when Jesus says this thing. And then Peter tells Jesus, but we have given up everything. In other words, Peter was telling, we are poor people right now. So Jesus, we are poor, therefore we will be in the kingdom of God. Then Jesus told him, oh yes, you're all there, 12 tribes, 12 chairs, whatnot. But then he tells them, the first will be the last, and the last will be first. Now, in this parable, if you look at it, is about the kingdom of God. And it's a vineyard, and there is an owner, we read, and there is a manager, and then there are laborers. The vineyard is the kingdom of God. And the owner is God himself. And the manager who paid them equally, Jesus Christ. And we are the laborers. We are the laborers. Doesn't matter, it's like a family, right? I have two children. One was born 2 years after the first one. But they are equal in the family. One is not better than the other, simply because he was born 2 years earlier. Kingdom of God is like that. Doesn't matter when you come, you're all equal. That's the point Jesus was trying to say. And there are two things that I would like us to remember from this parable. The first thing it reminds me is God is generous God. God is a generous God. Well, you see that when the person who came in the morning at 6 o'clock, he agreed for the same wages and he was paid. But the generosity has to do with not so much for the faithful ones, but the generosity has to do with the people who are not so faithful, like people of Nineveh. And they turned away from God's ways. But then when they repented, God forgave them. And it reads, God changed his mind. God changed his mind. But Jonah didn't like it. Jonah did not understand God's generosity. God, how could you do this? And what pleased God displeased Jonah. When God was gracious, Jonah was angry. Because we will never be able to understand God's justice. We think in terms of God's fairness when God thinks in terms of justice. God is a generous God. And we need to ask ourselves, is there anything in this world that belongs to me that was not created by God? Or is there anything that I own in this world that doesn't belong to God? When we think of our own possessions, then being generous makes sense. Because, you know, I know some of the Reformed churches, they preach against tithe giving, right? You know, like, you know, Jesus said you have to give according to your ability, not 10%, right? But that's a good excuse sometimes not to give, because I'm not able. I always think that 10% is actually what is expected of us. Whatever we give beyond 10% is only counted. Are you with me there? 10% is actually expected. Whatever we give beyond 10% is only counted. That's what my personal opinion. Because it's God gave us and God expects us to give. I am always so... I work in a hospital, and when I look at people grieving, and out of their grief, they become more generous. You know, I can understand that. When people grieve, they tend to give. Even to the extent some of them want to create memories of their loved ones and seek out to see whether they can donate the organs of their loved ones so that they can create living memories. I think grieving and giving, they go together. I'm not saying that we all need to be like St. Paul, imprisoned, and then we would like to give more or live out more. But then it looks like that's how God's way, because it grieved the heart of God, and he was so generous to give his only son, Jesus Christ. Secondly, we find in this parable that God is gracious. See, grace of God must not be confused with the justice of God. God being gracious has nothing to do with God being lenient. We think in terms of fairness in this world. But God is talking about justice, not fairness, because God's justice transcends our understanding of being fair. Because there is love in perfect justice, and there is justice in perfect love. Just imagine all of us sitting here earn the same amount of money. Just imagine all of us live in the same kinds of houses. We all live same kinds of cars. We all eat same kinds of food. Then there is no room for love and care, isn't it? If the whole world is equal with their worth, then where is the question of love and where is the question of justice? Then we are all automatically saints. We don't need God anymore. It is in fact the justice of God teaches us to look at inequality from new eyes. It is the justice of God that teaches us to look at our own brothers and sisters with new eyes. And somehow or the other, Jonah did not understand God's ways of looking the people of Nineveh with new eyes, with changed mind. Therefore, instead of going to Nineveh, he wanted to go to Tarshish. How often we wanted to run away from God, how often we wanted to do our own things, yet staying with God. You know, back in India, we used to live on the medical college campus. When we come out of our street, there is an intersection. And in the intersection, if I go towards west, there is a nice grocery store. If we go towards east, there is a mini zoo, where beautiful exotic birds and some animals like deers and all. I used to take my 4-year-old, when he was 4-year-old, now he is 19, 4-year-old, when I used to take him for a walk in the evenings. When we reached that intersection, till then he was fine. When he reached that intersection, his hands were still in my hand. He was still holding my hand. At that time, I observed him pulling which direction. If he wanted to drink a soda or eat a candy, he will pull me to the west. And if he wanted to see the birds and play with these animals, he pulls me towards the east. Sometimes I wonder, and that was the kind of relationship Jonah had with God. Or sometimes we all have with God. God, I still want to hold your hand, but I want you to pull my direction. But you see, God is in control, and he sent this humongous fish. It reads a large fish. And Jonah was in the belly of this fish for 3 nights and 3 days. Oh my goodness. 3 nights and 3 days and praying, kneeling down and praying. Well, and then God brought Jonah to teach a lesson all the way back to Nineveh. And then he was angry about a bush that was burnt and he lost his shade. But then God was trying to say, how much more I need to be angry, Jonah, that you didn't go to these people, you didn't reach out to these people. How much more I have passion for these people. If you are worried about this little bush, I am more concerned about people. God is gracious, slow to anger. But Jonah, like many of us, quick to angry. You know, I don't know about you, but being gracious it doesn't mean that you don't have to be angry. Being gracious has nothing to do with not being angry. Well, we read that God has been angry. In fact, he was so angry that it took 40 years for people to reach the promised land. It doesn't take 40 years. He was so angry, he didn't want the generation to reach the promised land. 40 is a generation. He wanted all of them to die before the new generation enters the promised land. Yeah, well, we all get angry, don't you? I mean, yeah, we all be angry. And angry at sometimes justifiable, sometimes unjustifiable, but but in this situation, God is gracious because the people repented and they have given up their sinful ways. What God gives us is not pay, but a reward, a gift and a grace. Just like this landowner gave them. It's not a pay. It's a reward. And that's what God is trying to get Jonah's attention. Jonah, I didn't call you to do a work for me. It's your mission. It's your mission. Often, most of us who are in the vineyard of God, we tend to ask God, God, where is my gift? Where is my reward? See, we, whether you are a pastor or a teacher or a pastor like chaplain like me, doesn't matter. It depends upon the kind of attitude that we have to our calling. If you think that you are just doing an occupation, then the focus is money, isn't it? At the end of the month, how much can I get? And that is the attitude of an occupation. But on the other hand, if your attitude is of a profession, then the attitude is knowledge, not money, but knowledge. I want to earn more knowledge. I want to earn more degrees. I want to publish more papers. But you see, for both money and knowledge, there is no end. They are bottomless pits. But if my attitude is vocational, then I do it because God calls me to do it, and God will provide me both money and knowledge. And that's what God is trying to teach Jonah here. It's a mission you call, and mission is my mission. The laborers were paid not according to their work, rather according to the graciousness of God. Let me tell you a story about a mother. This mother was left. Her house was on fire. So everyone in the house ran out of the house, leaving this newborn child. And no one dared to go inside. But mother's heart, the grieving heart, she was willing to give her life. So she dared to enter the burning house. She took this baby into her lap, into her chest, so that this baby would not be exposed to the fire. As she was coming out of this house, she had burns all over her face, the hands, and she was thankfully survived the burns. And the boy, he grew fine. He went to college. He was living in this dormitory. Brilliant student. But occasionally, mother would go to see him. Whenever mother came to see him, he was so ashamed of his mother. Mom, one day he said, Mom, you don't come anymore to the college. During the holidays, I will come home. So don't come. Mother was very hurt. Went home, waited for holidays. Holidays came, and she unfolded the story. My son, I wanted to save your life, and I was burned. His attitude towards mother is totally different now. My friends, that is the good news that we have today. It is not fair. Jesus had scars of crucifixion for our sinful nature, but that's the graciousness of God. That's the generosity of God. It's not fair that Jesus had to be crucified and for our sins and your sins, but that was the just thing for God to do. It's not fair that Jesus gave his life on the cross, generously, graciously. But that was the right thing for God to do. It's not fair. The person who worked only for one day earned the wages for the whole 1 hour, earned the wages for a whole day. It's not fair. But that was the right thing for God to do. Therefore, we give thanks for his death and resurrection as we gather around this holy table. God is generous. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Amen.